from coast to coast across America, it's the U.S. Property Podcast with the latest real estate news, interviews, and market trends.
Hey, welcome back to the U.S. Property Podcast. As we focus on the very latest real estate property news, we do it all over the country, looking at trends. We look at the forecasts, the predictions, and we are, just a reminder, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Now, this morning, we are headed somewhere nice and warm. We are going to Tampa, Florida, and to catch up with Megan Jordan, the principal and owner from Bay to Bay Brokerage. And a very good morning to you, Megan. Great to have you on this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, tell us, you've been in real estate for 11 years. You're the principal there, but you started out in owning your own real estate company in 2019, around COVID.
I did. So I opened up Bay to Bay Brokerage in late January of 2019. So we just hit our 5-year mark, and COVID hit my area kind of February, March of 2020. And then I had my first baby in April of 2020. So 2020 is definitely a year to remember. It really kickstarted my company.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is very bold, isn't it? You've got the newborn baby. You've gone just before COVID. Of course, there would have been at that time a lot of talk where people would have said, Oh, Megan, you've probably done your money here. Everything's going to head backwards.
You are absolutely correct. I'm the type of lady where I like to put my money where my mouth is, though, and I'm either all in or all out. So I knew that if real estate was going to be my career, and this is the only job I have ever truly excelled at, I knew I needed to go all in. So I looked at my husband and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the leap of faith now before we have children, and I'm going to go all in and I'm going to see what happens. Nothing is permanent other than death and taxes.
Well, there will be people that will be listening, Megan, thinking about, gee, could I start my own real estate company? What are just a couple, I won't get you to list off a whole reel of things, but what are a couple of things, primary things that people really need to think about when sort of deciding to turn the key and start their own real estate company? What are they, do you think?
A lot of the things that people don't think about when they own their own company in general is all of the different hats you have to wear. You are in charge of all of the marketing as far as the branding. You are in charge of all of the insurance, all of the accounting, the taxes for the business. You are responsible for the main, especially for a real estate business. You are, if you're the principal owner, you have to have your broker's license. So you're in charge of your corporation license and your business license, as well as all of the mailing addresses and making sure that your E&O insurance has the proper mailing address and the proper like amounts and everything of that sort. There's a lot more than meets the eye. Let's just say that.
Yes.
So if you start your own brokerage, you just have to make sure that it's something you actually love, or else it's going to suck the soul out of you.
Yeah, there you go. You've heard it from Megan. It'll suck the soul out of you. So you've got to be very, very passionate heading into real estate. Now, we'll get to real estate in just a moment, but you were telling me that you're a bit of a soccer mum. You love your soccer, but not only that, you play in a men's league.
Yeah, I play pickup soccer like 3 mornings a week. And it's not a strict men's league, but only men show up and me. every once in a while, we'll see another female out there. But it is very fun. We play at Ed Raddus. We also play in Carrollwood. We play kind of all over at 7 a.m. in the morning. And it's just a wonderful way to start my day.
Wow. I mean, you know, the great thing about soccer is it's great for the fitness level, isn't it? What a great way to sort of do a nice workout and then head off and sell some real estate.
It definitely is. But let me tell you, the older I get, the harder it is to rebound as far as physically. My back hurts. My knees hurt. There will be some guys out there that are about 25 saying about, oh, you know, I'm just not as fast as I used to be. And it's just like, have some children, have like your entire body wrecked, and then talk to me.
Well, pay no attention to the noise. Keep playing. That is for sure. Now, something else that you're doing, which is on a community level, I guess, is that you own a men's sober living house there in Tampa. I mean, tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so it is me and my two friends. We own it. There are 11 guys who can live in the house at the same time. It is 12-step based. And so basically any guy who's coming out of treatment or just wants to get sober, it is a safe landing space for them. They don't have to be there. They don't have to be judged, ordered, or anything like that. But it's basically just a good environment full. It's a house full of men who are trying to get their life back on track, get sober, and repair the damages of their past. And it's a really cool thing just to watch that magic happen.
Well, that's fantastic, Megan, that you're doing that. You're running that men's sober living house. I think we've got a little bit of an understanding now about who Megan Jordan is there in Tampa, the soccer mum, and she's very entrenched in the local community. Right. Now, first question I do have to ask, it's an obvious one, but why would people from other states look at moving into Tampa? Paint the picture for us this morning.
I can honestly say that Tampa is, I think, the best city in the entire state. We have beaches, in downtown Tampa. We have the Tampa Bay Lightning. We have the Straz Center, which has Broadway plays come through. We have a cruise terminal. Tampa International Airport is one of the easiest airports to fly in and out of. We also have St. Pete Airport, which has direct flights through Allegiant kind of all over. It's just a very easy city that has all of the big city desires as far as sports teams, as far as entertainment. There's a lot of education opportunities as far as colleges. So it has everything a big city offers, but very much like a small town feel. I'll go to my local Publix, which is like our local grocery store, and I'll see neighbors and people that I know. And so it very much has that small town feel and that quaint quality while having everything that a big city has at the same time. It's really cool.
What is the population now of Tampa? Where does that stand?
As far as numbers, we're growing. Everyone's moving here. I read a stat that Florida, since COVID hit, Florida has basically added a new Orlando, which is another huge city, the home of Disney, a new Orlando to the state every year since 2020. So we are seeing a huge increase in construction as far as townhomes, condos. They're not making any more land. And that is my husband said, if I have a pull string doll, that's one of the things that he hears me say on the phone all the time. But it's true. So they really are having to capitalize on how to fit the growing population to the same land.
And the median house price, I think that is sitting around the 500K mark.
Yep. For a single family home, and there's a lot of different areas in Tampa. So you can obviously very easily get into the multi-million dollar range. Within 30 minutes driving distance of downtown Tampa, you can also be in the 300s, even 200s. So it has a little bit of everything, no matter what you're looking for.
So just come back to that median house price, because of our first home buyers that will be listening, maybe not only from within Florida, but from outside of it. So 500K, what sort of a property is that likely to get you? How much land sort of averagely would that work out to, and the type of property?
Yeah, no, good question. So within the city of Tampa, the average lot size is 50 by 100, so 5,000 square feet. The farther you get out, you're going to have, maybe an acre, maybe a few acres. So at 500,000 within the city of Tampa limits, you're looking at a 5,000 square foot lot. You're looking at probably a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,500 to 1,700 square feet, but you're within biking distance to downtown Tampa. If you start going a little bit farther out towards Lutz, which is north, or even south towards Riverview, you can get larger lots, 7,500 square feet. Lutz, Land O'Lakes, you might even be able to get an acre depending on the area you're in. You're also probably looking at about 1,800 square feet, 3-2, but you also probably have a garage at that point. There's a lot to offer.
Okay, and where are people coming from? Where are they moving from to move into Tampa?
Everywhere, it feels like. We are seeing a huge influx of people from the Northeast. COVID hit and everyone could start working remotely. People started moving to Florida for the Florida lifestyle, the beaches, the warmer weather, the fact that you don't have to shovel your driveway in winter. Our winters are, the lows in the 50s and the highs in the 70s. That's the dream. So we have a lot of people from the Northeast who are living in the big cities moving to Tampa. We have a lot of Midwesterners as well, for the same reasons, weather. Some of it is for politics. We are also seeing Florida does not have any state income tax as far as your paycheck wise. So a lot of people, when COVID hit and you can work remotely, rather than living in a state that will have state income tax, they're moving to Florida so that they can save some money. So we're seeing a lot of people moving kind of from all over to take advantage of that tax advantage. But we're also seeing a lot of companies move to the Tampa area because there's a lot of tax advantages through the state of Florida and within the city of Tampa, within Hillsborough County, within Pinellas County. A lot of tax advantages for bringing your business here. You know, we have a new Moffitt Center that's going up, which is a huge cancer center. Pfizer is bringing a headquarters in. We're seeing a lot of tech companies coming to the St. Pete area. So we're seeing young entrepreneurs move to the area for those reasons.
And of course, you know, you're moving there for the lifestyle and particularly those very easy winters. Now, just sticking with the taxes, property taxes, slightly different cities and different counties. What can you tell us with regard to that?
So, for example, Hillsborough County houses the city of Tampa. But the city of Tampa has a different millage rate for taxes, which is how taxes are calculated, than Hillsborough County does. Same with the city of St. Petersburg versus Pinellas County. There's Dunedin. There's all these different areas that have different tax millage rates. So your taxes are going to vary depending on the area in which you purchase. The good news about Florida, another tax advantage, is we have what's called homestead exemption. So that means, hey, if you're living in your home in Florida for the majority of the year, you can qualify for homestead. You can say, this is my homestead property. This is my primary residence. You get $50,000 off of the taxed value of your home. But most importantly, your taxes can only increase 3% a year. The best example I can think of are my in-laws. They bought their property in 1989. It has been homesteaded since then. Their home is, you know, probably around $1 million now, and their taxes per year are under $1,000 because it's been homesteaded for so long. So it's a huge tax advantage for purchasing a property. And depending on how you file your taxes, your property taxes can be a write-off.
Well, that is great to catch up with you, Megan, this morning and to find out all about Tampa, all about the start back in 2019 for your brokerage company there. People are moving there from everywhere. We didn't get to touch on talking about the military base. We'll do that next time that we talk to you. But I'm probably holding you up this morning from heading out the door to go and play your soccer.
I do, and I can't wait.
All right. Well, great to catch up with you, and thank you so much for coming on to the US Property Podcast. Really appreciate it this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
From powerful and up-to-date news to professional real estate experts with the latest property trends, know your property with the US Property Podcast.
You can now cut a single family parcel, so one home, now into four, and in some cases up to 16 units.
And in terms of the permits, I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, we can now build more on these parcels of land, but it's a case of getting the permits through. Are there holdups with that, or is that something that they're onto?
That's another good question. Senate Bill 8 allowed homeowners to divide their land and build. What's then been interesting is if we back up 4 years ago, the city of San Diego, the county of San Diego, encouraged ADUs, right? Auxiliary dwelling units, their granny flats. Everyone started building them. They made permitting easy. They made them affordable. They made it an expedient process. Well, sure enough, Craig, the end of last year, the city is now allowing homeowners to peel off those ADUs and sell them as separate homes and parcels.
Stay updated in your local real estate market with the latest trends, predictions, and insights. Know your property with the US Property Podcast.